Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Doctors change lives every day, but what happens when life changes yours? A single injury, a sudden illness, your career, your income, your future can shift in an instant. The best physicians don't just plan for success, they protect it. At Set for Life Insurance, they believe financial security isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. True owned occupational disability insurance ensures that no matter what happens, your future stays in your hands. Because protecting your income means protecting everything you built. Visit drpodcastnetwork.co/setforlife today. Secure your future before life makes a choice for you. There comes a time as physician entrepreneurs that if we want to see our ventures continue to scale and grow, our business to scale and grow, we need to reduce our clinical hours or perhaps leave medicine entirely. And obviously, there are some challenges with it. Obviously, there's the financial challenge. You're starting something new. It's risky. You're not having the income that's coming in on a regular basis. There's the changes in work-life balance, in reducing your hours that you might find difficult to balance both your work life and your personal life. And then there's one that we don't often talk about, but it seems to be very prevalent. And I was dealing with a client on this earlier in the week. And what it is this feeling, this lingering doubt that we have that somehow as we're leaving medicine or even going part-time, we're losing the essence of what a physician actually is. We're losing our professional identity, that somehow we are no longer accepted in the medical community because we're not contributing as much as we used to. So here to help with this is a integrative family physician who actually left medicine entirely and has had to deal with these issues. She now works with individuals and organizations dealing with trauma and how they can retrain their listening, their thinking, and their speaking to better communicate and build bridges. In the program is my good friend, Dr. Myesha Claiborne, on this episode of Bootstrap MD. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD. And I'm super excited. I've been waiting for days and weeks to have this guest on. She's a dear friend, integrative physician, a thought leader, a trainer, consultant of trauma-informed communication, and the trainer of NLP, which stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, Hypnosis, and Timeline Therapy. And she's the founder of the Mind Remapping Company, where she helps individuals achieve mindset and communication mastery by teaching them to eliminate negative thinking, faulty beliefs, and ineffective behavior so they can put themselves in the driver's seat of truly creating a life they design. Her specialty is teaching people the power of word and how our unconscious thoughts and beliefs have an impact on the reality we create. She teaches the leaders she trains by mastering our language, by both internal and external, and ultimately put ourselves in the driver's seat of our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, therefore creating new impact in our lives and lives of people around us. Academically, she's a graduate of Emory. She completed her MD at Morehouse School of Medicine and her family medicine residency at Florida Hospital. In addition, she spoke at TEDx Asheville in 2022. She's the author of The Wellness Blueprint, the co-author of Conscious Anti-Racism, and the host of the Black Mind Garden podcast. With all of these accomplishments, she's also a very dear friend. Welcome to the program, Dr. Myesha Claiborne. Myesha, how are you doing?
It's so good to be back, Mike. It's so good to be back. And I appreciate you.
Well, I wanted you here because I wanted your expertise, because you are an expert in terms of dealing with trauma, dealing with anti-racism. So very heavy topics. But in terms of my audience, and the reason why I wanted to have you here is there is still this lingering issue for doctors, and we're seeing it. And in terms of our role as doctors, and in here at Bootstrap MD, we talk about entrepreneurship, we talk about starting your own business, we talk about investing. And oftentimes it comes down to be able to focus on these other things. Doctors may or may not have a decision to make, whether to reduce their role as a doctor, perhaps leave medicine entirely. And that brings up a whole bunch of different emotions, different feelings. I dealt with this recently when I had a client earlier this week who was basically a doctor, his 50s. He had a private practice, but his practice was not as profitable as it was. And he felt an obligation to not only his patients, to his staff. He was even to the point where, because the practice wasn't doing as well, he's using his own money to continue on the practice, and he's not really sure what to do. And a lot of these thoughts were brought up. So I'd like to know, but with your experiences, I know that you used to coach in this realm in terms of that. I feel you're the expert in terms of physician mindset. What are some things that that we could help doctors out there who have this mindset?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying this sort of obligation that we have, this is cultivated in us through our training, right? We become, it's like being a physician becomes our whole identity. And there's a lot of unspoken, I've heard it called the unspoken curriculum inside of our training, like conditioning. And so I think that used to be, when medicine was different, that used to be a good thing. It cultivated this commitment to our patients. But as we've seen, medicine has shifted and changed so much that we've needed to branch out and expand ourselves. But with that same sort of conditioning of I have to, or I'm obligated, or if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it, it really does harm us in being able to expand into the new and different things that we want to do. So that's the first thing, is that all of this is based on our conditioning from our training. And we have to understand that we're conditioned, first of all. I think when we don't understand the source of why there's so much resistance to change, resistance to letting go, and even fear. And I imagine fear, because of the fact that we so closely identify with the profession itself, like we identify ourselves. I've heard physicians say, well, this is all I am. This is all I know. I don't know anything else, which completely discounts the things, the other potential gifts that they may have. But this is all I know. This is who I am. Is cultivated. It's conditioned in our training. So I think the very first thing that we really have to do is understand our resistance is conditioned. It's conditioned. And when we begin to understand that, then we can get curious about it, right? Like really meet it with curiosity. So for example, this obligation that this one doctor feels, and it's not, there's not, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with obligation, but obligation to what end, right? Is when we look at obligation, we need to look at, well, is that obligation that we feel harming us? Is that obligation that we feel serving us or creating more debt, creating more unhappiness? So we start to get curious about this resistance. Where is it? What is the resistance exactly? What's underneath the obligation? Typically, in us, it's fear. It's fear and the belief that it's usually fear of a loss of something. Sometimes it's a fear of loss of income. Sometimes it's a fear of loss of identity. And we can get to the root of what that fear is, and we can start to tease apart the belief systems that make up those fears and those resistances. So that's like the first aspect of it.
When you say conditioning, is it also important to find out where that conditioning comes from? I think from my own personal experience, some of it was from my colleagues. Some of it was from my family. I come from a line of doctors in my family. And then I guess a lot of it is just internal, right? Your own internal conditioning, and also society as well. I see where society, let's say you're a doctor and maybe you've got public health loans, and society feels, well, we helped get you into medical school. We helped pay for your education. And now you're doing something else. Is it important to know where it comes from, or just be able to recognize that this is occurring?
No. Yeah, just recognizing that there's conditioning is one thing, but I think it is useful to begin to tease apart, if you feel inclined, to be able to tease apart the layers of conditioning, because you're right. Like some of it is medical school, but some of it, a lot of times we get into medicine because of our families and some conversation about our families, whether it was spoken or unspoken. So conditioning often goes way back all the way to childhood, right? And so you come into medicine with this already bit of conditioning personality-wise, like who you are and what you're trying to prove or what you're trying to live up to or how you want to contribute or where you came from, right? Being a first generation someone in like school or being a legacy on the other end of that, right? And then there's everything in between. So you come into the medical education system with that. And then there's the conditioning that the medical education system gives us. And then we go through and we come out into residency. And then there's the conditioning that that leaves us with. And then we come out and we think it's done. Now, we think about like the military and people who go into the military go into boot camp. And at its, I think most boot camp is anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks. And then after that, they have their training. Well, you think about 6 to 12 weeks versus 4 to 12 years of conditioning, right? And what that starts to do. And then after that, you have then the medical community, the medical industry, hospitals, healthcare associations, organizations that are still contributing to all that conditioning. So it is useful to kind of tease out over time. It doesn't happen overnight, but to kind of tease out over time, well, where is this conditioning come from? And what is the conversation that's happening? Like, what is being conditioned specifically? Because it's useful to know where the conditioning is coming from, but oftentimes what is being conditioned is just one or two or three conversations, right? The one or two or three conversations get reinforced each system you go into. And so I think that's very useful to be able to tease that apart, but to understand what is the conversation that's being conditioned. Now, what I'll say about that is that while it's useful to understand where the conditioning comes from, to tease out what the sources of it are, and to understand what specifically is being conditioned, in order to break that pattern, you have to make a decision to interrupt it, right? So right. People say, oh, I'm just that way. Oh, I'm conditioned. Like it can be easily turned into an excuse not to act. And I've seen it, right? It's just the way it is. Oh, our system's just messed up. Oh, I'm just going to ride it out. Oh, I'm just like that sort of resignation because of the conditioning. I'm just conditioned this way.
Right.
That's an excuse to not act.
America spends more on healthcare than any other country, yet we rank 48th in life expectancy. We spend trillions, but 200,000 insured people still declare medical bankruptcy every year. Clearly, the system is broken. But what if there was a way to take back control, to break free from inflated costs and red tape? That's exactly what CrowdHealth was created, a smarter, more transparent way to pay for healthcare. No middlemen. No bureaucracy, just a community helping each other when it matters most. Join the revolution. Go to joincrowdhealth.com and use promo code BootstrapMD for a discount on your first 3 months. Because your health should be in your hands, not theirs.
I like the analogy that you had in about the military. I think a lot of it, we talk about being a doctor and everything is wrapped up with being a doctor. And then just having family and friends who are in the military. And whether or not you are, when you spent 4 years in training and you went overseas, or maybe you spent your whole career, like my father-in-law, the whole career in the Navy, you still identify as a military man, right? Or a military woman, or I was a Marines. And with a doctor, whether you're actively seeing patients or not, I know I went back in and my own clinics, I know you're not actively practicing seeing patients. You still identify as a doctor. And I think that if you can understand that, that if you're no longer seeing patients, that's somehow not worthy of the title as a doctor. And we don't see that with people who are in the military.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. I love that you brought that because that may be where some of the fear comes up. Like, well, I've spent all this money and all these years to become a doctor, to have this title. And if I leave it, then am I no longer a doctor? And you're absolutely right. Like I practiced no clinical medicine at all for 6 years now. And I absolutely 100% identify as a physician. And part of my history, as I say, part of my career history and referred to as Dr. Maisha, Dr. Claiborne, and in a lot of my corporate consulting roles. When we begin to look at the fact that when we're transitioning out, we'll always have that title. We did the work, we paid our dues, we paid the money, we did what we did. That title will always stay with us. And what's cool about it, to me at least, is that I get to take that experience, that expertise into other domain. And I get to leverage that knowledge. So interesting, like we don't even realize as doctors what kind of skills we've gained being clinicians, the type of problem solving skills, the type of critical thinking skills for many physicians. I know there are some that are in every field, there's some. That empathy skills, the compassion. There are some skills that we lack, like communication, some of us anyway, some people. But yeah, I think that there are so many skills that we don't even realize, even technical skills, manual skills. My dad, retired OBGYN, he was the surgeon, retired surgeon. Now he's in the guard, he's building decks. He's really good with his hands. And while he may not be in somebody's body doing these intricate surgeries, he can do very intricate things. He can utilize that skill in other places. He does what's called mosaics. So he's turned himself into an artist with his work, the tiles. And so one might think, well, I don't want to be an artist. But what my point is that you have to think about all of the little tiny skills, the micro habits that have made you into the great doctor that you are, and start to tease those apart and think about, where else can I utilize these skills? In investing, in real estate, like in analyzing deals, if you're a good numbers person. So I think that's when we start to reframe this whole moving out of medicine as, where can I take these skills and apply them somewhere else? Now, the other thing I heard that I just want to quickly speak to is the obligation to patients. And I know that there's some abandonment conversations that sometimes doctors cling to, right? Like, I don't want to abandon my patients. And I think in some ways, many times I'll say there are concerns about, like, if I'm not in this community, who will serve them, right? Especially when we're talking about marginalized communities, or who will serve them in a way that's most equitable if I'm not there, right? Sometimes though, that can also be it could reflect the need to be needed. And if you're not needed by your patients, what value are you? Who are you needed by? And if you're not needed by anyone, what value are you? So that's another fear that could be like really insidious creeping up. Like this fear of no longer being of value because you're not serving patients, right?
Yeah, that's very powerful. That maybe it is. Maybe the fear is coming from within to feel needed. So it's really powerful stuff. So we talked about conditioning and talk about this necessity, this feeling of necessity. So let's talk about solutions. So we recognize the problem. What are the steps we should be taking to dip our toe in the water here and see what else is out?
Well, so the first thing I mentioned earlier is we need to make a decision. When you start to explore and become curious and ask questions, I think that's like one of the first things, ask questions, like be curious, like where is this coming from? Be willing to investigate a little bit more deeply into what these fears are, what these sensations, these experiences of resistance are. So that's the first thing, get curious and investigate. But then you want to make a decision. And the decision is that, you can make a decision to, you're going to stay. You're just going to tough it out. You can make that decision. People often come and say, you got to make a decision to change. No, you don't. You can make a decision to stay, or you can make a decision to do something different, but you have to make a decision. And then if you're going to make a decision to stay in whatever situation that may not be optimal for you, then don't complain about it, right? Accept it, make the best of it, and find joy in it. Figure out how to find joy in the least and the situation if you choose to stay in a less optimal situation. If you're choosing something different, if you're saying, okay, I'm making a choice, I'm making a decision that I'm going to do something different, then you probably want to reach out to someone to distinguish it, especially if you're unclear about what that thing is. Like, I want to do something different, but I'm unclear about what I want to do. Then that's when it's time to join a community. I know there are tons of communities, from your community to John Jerica's community to Sunny's community, Empowering Women Physicians, to Leverage and Grow. There's like tons of communities where physicians are exploring what's next. EntreMD, Dr. Una's community. I could just keep naming where physicians are exploring what's next. And that leads you in a direction. And if you're still having trouble, then of course you hire a coach, because coaches can help to bring that out, bring the best out of you, right? And then you pursue that path. You find who is it that is where you want to be and you pursue that path. Now, here's the thing. When you make a decision and you pursue that path, the resistance is not going to go away. It's right. not. Because you're human. The fear is going to come up. The conversations are going to be there. A lot of the work that I do with my clients is helping them to get really to release those limiting beliefs, release those old wounds that have been sort of insidiously installed, the old inherited conversations that have been insidiously installed over time. And I do recommend that whether it's with someone like me who does this work all the time, whether you have a therapist, I think therapists should be primary care, not like secondary. I think I've said this, I've talked to many therapists. It's like, why is therapy not included in primary care? Everybody should have a therapist, even if it's just a check-in once a quarter, once a month. So whether it's with a therapist, whether it's with someone who's doing deep work, a coach, like that's kind of what I do. It's useful to start to really dismantle some of these inherited conversations, because those are the things that weigh us down when we're trying to take a new path.
Right. Right?
When we're trying to take a new path, it's all the old fear and guilt and beliefs that just is like a ball and chain.
Yeah. What you say too, people always have these things too. I remember from the start of COVID where I had felt guilty. Like I've had colleagues and clients who are on the front line and wearing masks and I'm sitting in my house and what else could do? But it led me to doing other things like charity for masks and things like that I started. So I was able to funnel that kind of guilt into something that could be productive. Like you said, and the other thing too is, and I think this part isn't talked about as much, is like when someone comes on to the show, when we spotlight doctors doing other things outside of medicine, the change is not necessarily leaving medicine. A lot of times it's just you're in a hostile work environment. You're feeling you're mistreated. You're not being validated. There's so many different other opportunities, both clinical opportunities that are out there, whether it be locums or just a different type, whether going from inpatient to outpatient or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So many different opportunities as we see this doctor shortage getting worse and worse. Yeah. And they're realizing, hey, maybe we should give them more flexibility that's out there exploring.
Absolutely. I think, and you're so right, because I think so often now the anthem in our community is leave medicine, leave medicine, leave medicine. Right. And I absolutely agree with you is that a lot of the work that I've done with is help move all of their guilt and things out of the way so that they can see that they still love clinical medicine. They just want to do it differently. And when you don't believe, when you're so kind of like burnt to the ground that all you think you do is you want to leave medicine, you have to heal those wounds. That's trauma from our training. That's trauma from the pandemic. That's trauma from the way that organizations treat physicians these days. That's all that trauma. And you have to be like ready to say, you know what, whatever that is, I'm ready to release that so that I can see the opportunities to pursue the career in the way that I want to pursue it, whether it's continuing clinical medicine, whether it's doing something else, whether it's doing both. Because there's the myth that you either do one or you do the other. That's binary thinking, right? You can be in clinical medicine practicing the way you want to practice, and you could be investing in real estate or having a coaching practice or owning multiple businesses or whatever, right? You're the perfect example of that. Being in clinical, owning multiple practices, owning a marketing company, like all the things that you do, right? So I love that you brought that, because I think that part of the conditioning is that you're one thing and you're one thing only. And once you get into that one situation, because you think of the way we're trained, you go into medical school and you're there for 4 years, can't turn back now, right? You go into residency, you're in there for 3 years, fellowship, another 1, 2, 3 years, however long, right? And so we're used to this like long-term commitment. You get a job, you're supposed to stay in that job, no matter how bad it gets. And so when we give up this sort of guilt about leaving things and moving to the next thing, that we can actually find a career that we love. And when we let go of the belief and the resignation and the cynicism of there's nothing out there for me, then we can find what we love. But that all comes with all of this conditioning, all the inherited conversations, all the things that we've been told about how worthless we are, all of the other organizations and institutions determining our value for us. When we release those beliefs, when we release those the emotions that are connected to those beliefs, that's deep work. When we release that, then we release the hold that all of that has on us, and we can move forward with a lot more freedom.
Aisha, this has been great. I know you're incredibly busy, but tell us about your programs, and if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, sure. So someone asked me, do you still do one-on-one coaching? And the answer is yes, I do, by request. So some of the work that I do, deep work with emotional release and helping people to release like old inherited belief systems that kind of hold them down, that weigh them down, so they can actually be free to do the things and create the life that they want, the life that they can design. So that's one of the areas that I still work in. And then also I teach neurolinguistic programming. You mentioned that earlier. And for those who don't know what it is, it's neurolinguistic programming is the way that we use our words, spoken and unspoken, to reframe and reprogram our thoughts, beliefs, and to release old emotions so that we can actually create a life that we love and a life that we design, and that we can help others do the same. So I do run NLP certifications, NLP coach trainings for those who are out there who are like, maybe I want to be a coach. I run those coach trainings. I teach doctors how to utilize NLP in their practices as well, and hypnosis as well. So those are the two big things that I do. And of course, I do speaking and consulting. I talk a lot about trauma, as you can tell in by my conversations, trauma-informed communication. What I will say, for those of you who want to learn more about neurolinguistic programming specifically, you want to know what is this and what applications does it have, I invite you to listen to my podcast. If there's one action item that I would say, it would be go listen to the podcast, The Black Mind Garden. The Black Mind Garden is on all of your favorite podcast platforms. And so you can even just go to theblackmindgarden.com to access it, right? So that's that. And of course, if you want to learn more about the trainings, it's mindremappingacademy.com. And that's whether you want to learn about the corporate work that I do, or whether you want to learn about getting your own coach certification.
All right. So we'll have those links also in the show notes. Aisha, it's always a pleasure dropping the knowledge as always. Any last minute thoughts before we end the call today?
I think I just want to leave physicians with that there is always a choice. There's always a choice. I think that we have been so conditioned that we have no choice. You always have a choice, and it is okay to choose you.
I love it. Great way to end it. Thanks again, Aisha. Thanks for everybody from listening. If you are struggling with something right now, you're not sure which way to go, there's always people out there like Aisha who can help. At the end, it's just about finding the path you want to go, just making a decision, and keep moving forward.
Thank you.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now, let's get to work.